It's time to spark it up with the Kennel Linguists.
I mean, look what happened in Colorado. They're like, oh, Colorado's going to run out of weed.
The fact that you got to go to McDonald's and get a value meal supersized on the state, that never happens anywhere.
With your hosts, April O'Connor.
You need to smoke weed after you go to the whorehouse because you're kind of being contemplative and wondering. Like a store. Check cash in place. Sounds familiar.
And Alex Mandelberg.
It's like Tyson hit her in the vagina. That, I feel like, is where the line is. I feel like the line is, if it can make you better, it's performance enhancing.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but about Apple.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Talk about cannabis possibly being in bars and restaurants in Denver. A viral video about some cops eating some edibles in Santa Ana. The First Church of Cannabis attendees warned of possible arrests and Delaware to open its first dispensary. Talking about that here on the Cannel Linguists, I am Alex Mandelberg. With me, my redheaded, fresh back from the Cannabis Cup co-host April O'Connor. And our guest this week, a very awesome, very funny, very stoned friend of mine. Give it up for Koya. I think I might have done too much echo that time.
Man, that sounded good.
Actually, funny story that you probably don't know about Cole, April. Cole is the first comic I ever went on the road with. We didn't drive there together, but when I got there, Cole was the host, I was the feature, and Justin Ruppel, who's been a guest on this show, was our headliner.
Huh.
And I didn't know. I had thought after the first show, like, because they were like, oh yeah, we got this host, Cole. I thought Cole was a local comic from the Reno area. And come to find out, after the first show, I'm talking to Cole. I find out he lives back in LA. And I'm like, oh, so you're the first comic I've ever been on the road with, which was kind of, yeah. Cole was, he was selling vegan cookies back then. What was the name of the company?
Medicated.
No, they were not medicated.
No.
They were just vegan, gluten-free cookies.
Vegan, gluten-free, healthiest shit for your cookies.
I want one.
The chocolate fudge ones.
Where are they?
Ridiculously good.
That's what was the fudge squared.
What were they called again?
Couple Smart Cookies.
That's what they were called. That was it. Couple Smart Cookies.
That smart. That was a problem. The name alone killed us.
Oh, damn.
I'm just playing.
I hate it when that shit happens.
We had to shut it down, though.
Yeah, that'll happen. But yeah, April, you are fresh back from the Cannabis Cup. How was that up there?
It was interesting. It was fun.
That's a word that needs elaboration.
Yeah. Okay. HempCon one day was both days combined, like in attendance. So it was a low attendance because they changed the date last minute. And then they had this bat, like Vader always goes for best booth, and they've been outdoing themselves every time. So they always get this
big stage
and they make it rain weed. They have a t-shirt gun. This time they were raffling off a car. A Mercedes smart car or something, a BMW smart car. And it was like,
The BMW electric car,
it was completely wrapped in all their stuff. And then Crown OG, they did the same thing. They built this humongous stage.
How much fucking money do these people have?
They literally throwing money in the sky. It was raining weed.
Are these companies really making this much money on weed?
It's ridiculous. Now, what they're doing, they're buying the votes, basically, because in order for you to enter the raffle for the car, the other stage were raffling off a Jamaica trip. So they were trying, the other stage went bigger and got a bigger stage, and they were trying to, compete with Vader, but they couldn't touch it. They were raffling off a Jamaica trip, so Vader's like, fuck it, we're gonna raffle off a car. Crazy. Now Sunday, these stages are battling. It's like a sound clash, right? And fucking cops come and they put handcuffs. You can look at on the internet, there's pictures of they put handcuffs on the generator so they couldn't start the stage again, so they shut the music down. The lady who ran the place, who I remember from HempCon, she was mad cool. She was like, fuck this. This is bullshit. You know, I sold $100,000 yesterday. I'm only going to do 40 today. Meaning like at the venue, like beer and food and, you know, because they shut the stage down. Nobody's, people are going to start leaving.
Wait, she said she made $100,000 yesterday?
No, no, the lady who runs the venue, that yeah, the event, and like food sales and beer and stuff like that.
Made $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
Holy mother of money.
And just the space rental for probably for the companies, I imagine.
My mind gets blown every time when we talk about this, though, Cole. And you know, because you've been at, I keep on thinking that I keep on thinking that every weed upstart business is like, oh, yeah, they come, they go, and blah, 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 whatever. Yeah. And it's not until I realize that I've had my medical card for now about a half a decade.
This has nothing to do with weed.
Well, but
this is the beer and food.
But what I realize is with all that, that now companies like Tetra Labs, I've been seeing them for 4 years in stores. Keeping on selling. They don't, yeah, a lot of them come and go, but there are some that stick around. And I guess what I'm getting back to it is the amount of money that there really is in marijuana. I didn't realize how much, I knew there was a lot to go around, but I didn't realize that any individuals were pulling in sums like a venue selling $100,000 in food and drink for one day of a festival. That's not any figure to frown at. That's a lot of money.
Huge, huge industry.
I mean, is that really how much money these people are pulling in?
Okay. I mean, that's just a venue. That's like if you went to a Dodger game, all the money that goes. That's
yeah,
why
but
you're
I
paying
expect
for inflated
that from
food.
A Dodger game.
You know, I mean, well, I mean, marijuana is huge now. I mean, it's the thing. This was an undersold event, and that's how much they did. So this is, I mean, regardless, I want to tell you about this fucking thing that I saw.
Okay, tell
there's
me about
a there. I talked to them. We're gonna get them in. Dank darts. Somebody created a dartboard for playing a smoking game. Here, I have to pull it up for you. You have to see.
Dank darts?
Dank darts.
I could fuck with some dank darts.
Me too. We need to get one in the studio.
Yeah, we can put one in here. That's perfectly fine with me. Okay,
here, look,
I'm
they
taking
come
a look
in two
at
different
that.
Kinds.
Two different kinds. One has some yard gnomes on it. I don't know about that. I'm kind of liking the other Rastafarian skulls, big five-pointed leaf mushroom. I don't know why there's mushrooms on there, but hey, whatever. I'm fucking around with some mushrooms. So,
I didn't get a chance to get away from the booth long enough to actually play a game, though. The lady invited us. She was so sweet.
For a game of dank darts.
April, all kinds of fucking up. Before we start recording, she told me, oh, I got a bunch of stuff for you from Cannabis Cup. Forgot all of it at home.
Oh.
Yeah, killing me, lady.
Leafly. Didn't get I got me some my... Leafly swag.
Shout out to Leafly.
Swag.
Love you, Leafly. Fuck weed maps.
I said swag. It's swag. It's called swag.
Yeah, it's called swag.
Is that...
Are you swag or swag? Cole.
Swag?
No,
throwing a swag?
If you are quote unquote fly, you have swag.
Yes.
But if you are giving away free
a
shit
gift bag, that's swag.
That's swag.
Okay.
Right? Is it? I feel like that's right. Correct.
That sounds,
that's
that sounds right, maybe.
Cole, I need you fact checking me here, man. Come on, don't.
You need me to do
just
this?
Just tell me I'm right. And
you are correct.
Yes. Look, I got it right here.
Oh, look, we did. We got the Urban Dictionary giving us.
No, that is the
actual
dictionary.
That's the dictionary.
Yeah.
No,
because the Urban Dictionary is smoking swag. Is it the Urban Dictionary?
No. Oh, yeah, swag ass weed. Yeah, and that's the Urban Dictionary. Swag is
no, origin is Yiddish.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's Jews. We come up with words. That's what we do.
Schlepp in the swag. just a schlepp in the swag.
It's free shit, right?
Free shit.
That's where swag comes from. Free shit. When you say free shit together, it's just swag. You know,
it's to
whatever.
Make you forget all the bullshit you have to go through.
So to back on what you were saying though about how much money is in this business, I pulled up this article because this is actually over a year old. I don't know if you guys knew that Bang Chocolates was acquired.
Mm-hmm.
60% of it was acquired for $39 million.
That's pretty big.
It's a chocolate bar.
Wow.
39. Well, they make vape cartridges too. They're cool, but
that's a lot of money for a weed corporation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we'll go from that into it. So apparently bars and restaurants in Denver want to start serving marijuana. You got that news story for us, April?
Certainly do.
Okay. There it is. Cannabis coming to Denver bars and restaurants. I've been kind of saying this for a while, that my dream is to go into a restaurant where I get to pick out my cut of steak. A nice, for me personally, I like a filet mignon. I know a lot of, at home I cook a lot of New York strip, but at a restaurant I like a filet.
They got excellent flavor.
Oh, they great flavor. And if I'm going to pay a lot of money for a steak, I want the best fucking steak.
Yeah.
Filet. So I want a filet. I prefer a dry rub on it. There's one that I get a lot of times at Mesa Grill that has coffee in the dry rub. And then I want a nice red.
You are serious about your barbecue.
I want a nice.
I'm so mad I'm not going to be here for the 4th of July.
You should be mad.
I'm so mad.
You should be very mad. I'm very serious about my smoked and barbecued meats.
I want to be here for your meat.
You're invited. Invite was already sent to you, Cole.
Your meat is on my list.
But yeah, I want a nice red wine to pair with that steak. And then I want to smoke.
They're going to pair it, do wine pairing.
I
want to
smoke the fattest
beer pairing
sativa bowl that I could smoke at that moment. I want that experience in a restaurant. I want to be able to pair these, because weed is an earthy flavor. To pair that earthy flavor with the earthy flavor of wine and the earthy flavor of steak. How is this not being, alcohol.
It's just a matter of time.
Do you think it's a matter of time?
Yeah, I think the finer restaurants, you can probably actually make that happen.
Well,
if you have enough.
Well, but that's that weird thing though, because of because of the whole smoking indoors thing and all of that stuff. That's my worry. Is I don't care about going into some dive bar and being able to smoke a joint with my mozzarella sticks and PBR. What I am more interested in is the high-end experience, the experience of having a great steak, a great glass of red wine, and a bowl. And is it more likely to kind of get filtered into the lower end market and be forgotten by the high-end market because they all like to think that they're better than it sometimes?
You might have to visit someplace downtown, like late at night, like the Pacific Dining Car, at 3 in the morning.
Is that what I need to be doing?
And ask him for the special room.
You know, Cole, all the secrets.
Cole, the way you made that sound, I'm afraid I'm going to have to duct tape my ass shut before I go in there. Cole told me to ask for the special room. Where do I want to go for the special room? Yeah. That's the room with the chains on the wall right now.
It's always a place where the high rollers ask.
Just be careful. Be careful if they ask if you want a special blowjob.
They don't like to mingle.
Or especially a job.
You want to mingle with a bunch of other people that are coming in at 3 in the morning. You want someplace off to yourself.
Yeah, that's understandable. It's rare, I feel like, that I feel comfortable smoking in public, kind of. But I've never been that person who yesterday I was headlining at the Federal Bar and I was done and a buddy of mine, we were out on their smoking patio and she had a joint. And if I had been standing outside their door on the street, I'd have lit that joint up, smoked it, had no problem whatsoever. But for some weird reason on their smoking patio, I had that, oh no. They could tell me to fucking leave now if they come over and smell this and don't want.
So this is what they're going to do in Denver. They're actually proposing a ban that they're taking away the current ban so that they can allow adults 21 and over to consume at certain places, like in bars, in restaurants. Lifting the ban, but not completely, just narrow exemption.
But once again, the question goes to is that they go, okay, so we'll allow consumption here, but they're not allowed to sell it. So it's not like it's BYOW.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. Well, I think that they're saying like if they could have a special area at a restaurant for people to go and smoke outside. And then like how hotels, you know, they're
like
still
a smoking area.
You know, they're
but for smoking. Not cigarettes.
Right. And that if there's hotels are allowing people to, you know, use on premises, if there's a balcony or if there's, you know, 25% smoking rooms or something. The Clean Air Act or whatever, what did they say? Clean Indoor Act dictates no more than 25% of rooms may be smoking rooms. So the other than that, they would just have like hotels that were just had smoke coming out of it looking like it was on fire.
Well, 'cause I wonder about that rule in – because I've wondered why that rule hasn't been adopted here in California, because we already do have a rule here where I asked the question myself. If you ever go to a cigar shop and they have the smoking lounge,
right,
and it's indoors, mm-hmm, and you go, you guys are smoking indoors. I thought that was banned in all places of sales.
Are they grandfathered in maybe?
No. If your sales are, I think the guy said 75% of the things that we sell have to be tobacco or tobacco related.
Right.
As long as the vast majority of our sales are tobacco, you can consume tobacco on site. And I've wondered why that hasn't been adopted to the dispensary world, where it's like, if 75% of what you sell is marijuana, why am I not allowed to consume marijuana on these premises?
Yeah.
There are some places that allow it, that have a little setup.
But I'm sure that they're probably not allowed.
In Colorado or here?
In right here in the good old Los Angeles.
But I'm sure that those places are probably operating very close to the gray area
where we're sitting.
I would imagine, though, that those places are probably operating in the gray area of the law, though. I'm sure if a cop came in there.
They're also operating on the same block as the law, almost. They're right on Van Nuys.
That is true.
Van Nuys,
yeah.
The street. The one place I went to. It's right there on Van Nuys before you get to Victory and Van Nuys.
Well, listen, for all the shit, for all the shit that cops get, and I get
it, you call.
They have a smoking bar right across from where you get your buds, and the guys there, and there's
I get why
on the TV.
I get why cops get a lot of shit, and it's understandable. And there's this whole parade of, you know, what's wrong about it, but. That being said, what I will say about cops is if you offer them a path of less resistance, they usually will opt for that. Right. And a lot of times stoners lately have opted for the path of least resistance. In a lot of places, they'll go, dude, we just want to get fucking high and go home. And a lot of cops are really happy nowadays to go, cool, get high, go home. I don't fucking care. I got a wife.
Except for when they shoot your dog.
Yeah, well, that's a whole. That, like I said, I'm not defending.
Is that a story?
Well, it happens a lot.
No, that happened at a dispensary. They shot their dog.
It's an unfortunate. Well, that's the story that we're kind of transitioning into. Was this video
on a raid or
this video that went?
Yeah.
This video that went viral.
They put a big spray paint out in front saying the cops shot our dog.
Yeah,
it was in the West Side.
That wasn't the same viral video that we're talking about here.
No,
this is a whole other one. Yes, there's a viral video of a cop shooting a dog. It was very, very disturbing. But
I didn't know there was a video of the one.
There's quite a few. But the one that we were talking about was a raid at a Santa Ana.
Most shops have a dog. And when I visualize the dog at the shops, it's usually like a little dog that's underneath the desk.
Usually like a dog like my little Ruby.
Jack.
It's like a dog that you, like my little Ruby that you guys hear barking every now and then. She's 7.5 pounds.
I forgot to tell you that we got second place at the topicals.
Oh, that's right. Congratulations, Honey Pot.
We did lotion this time.
Congratulations, though, the Honey Pot pulling in second place. So this video out of Santa Ana, which is Orange County, just to the south of us here in Los Angeles, there was a raid on a pot dispensary, and some cops are caught on video consuming some edibles. And the video went viral.
They were playing darts. One guy took a bite out of an edible after reading it. And then they were harassing this very, very like seemingly sweet Marla who's in a wheelchair. And what they said, they were going to kick her in her nub.
Yeah, I think she's an amputee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty.
I just threw up in my mouth.
It's a pretty gross video. It's not
very mean.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to gross everybody out more.
I never know how to articulate my feelings about a lot of these issues that are going on with police officers right now, because one of my best friends in the world is a police officer, and he's one of the best, most honest stand-up gentlemen that I know in my life. And that being said, I know what's going on in the world, and I see all these abuses of power, and I hear someone like him even go, yeah, it's a lot of bad news. But then I also, on the same page, hear him go, yeah, and with everything going on right now, my job has become fucking hell. Mm. Yeah. And I don't know how I, when I hear all these stories, it's like when we talk about it here, I go, you know, I don't want to keep spinning the fuck the police mentality this that goes on right now.
This is before you.
But shit like this makes it hard not to.
Before you got here, there's like, I don't know. They're trying to shut all these shops down out there.
Right, they're playing whack-a-mole.
Yeah, they're fucking with people. They're because there was a lottery, and there's only supposed to be a certain amount of shops. So all the ones that are remaining open, just like they did here in LA, they're like, oh, you get this many, the rest of you got to go. And it sucks, but they have to go in and force. I'm not saying, not in any way justifying it, but this is like they brought out the guys that are going to go and manhandle people and scare them into closing. And not saying that's a good thing or okay, but that's what they're trying to achieve.
Didn't look like a very fun experience for the patients.
No, not at all. I'm just explaining what's happening.
Yeah,
not
what the thought process
not,
is going
not,
on.
Not defending it in any way.
I wonder
way.
If they're going to be somehow recipients along with the owners of the shop in forthcoming
lawsuits.
No, I'm sure. There's going to be a ton
there
of lawsuits.
There are lawsuits, yeah.
I'm sure the officers who consumed this stuff on the job, I'm sure they've already been suspended, if not with suspensions upcoming. And everyone – but like I said, it goes back to the whole cyclical – like there's – it's such a
– This is a good pot story. Real short.
I love a good pot.
I used to make cookies at a bakery, a big factory, you know.
Not weed cookies.
No, not weed cookies, but they did run a batch of medicated cookies in there. They had nobody in the bakery that, you know, there's like six different ovens, you know, big 75-foot
Our listeners
ovens.
Didn't see my eyes just shoot the fuck open. Yeah. When calls it. I was like, oh, what?
These ovens all have like big conveyor belts with runways and curves. They look like a racetrack, you know, but with cookies on them going really slow. So that's the funny thing on the cookie sheets. They did a batch of medicated ones. They didn't have anybody in there with any expertise. And a couple of their bakers, the Mexican guys, had tried a couple of the cookies. And one guy, they had to drive him home. So they gave me one cookie and I ate it. And I'm like, okay, an hour went by. I didn't feel anything, so I ate a second cookie. And the next thing you know, I went home. I finished my shift. But I laid on my couch with I couldn't move my arm. I couldn't get my boots off. I had my sweatshirt on. I was on my back on my couch.
Tore up from the floor up. Cole Young, ladies and gentlemen.
And the guy who was making them called me up and he goes, hey, you owe me $10. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
He goes,
you don't think that I know everything that goes on down there.
Oh, God, so, you fucker.
And that's how I got in the biz.
Oh, there you go.
You couldn't say quality control. Two thumbs up.
Yeah, man. You got it. That's a good job, man.
Can't move my arms. Yes.
Listen,
test
man, I'd give you two you thumbs up if I could move my thumbs. But I can't.
I use my arms every day. I use my arms. So when I can't use my arms, I'm fucked up bad. So that's what I told him. That was my rating.
I have more experience using my arms than any other part of my body, sir.
It's like one of the first things I move in the morning.
Yeah, that's understandable. First thing you move, I don't know. I'm more of a leg man. Kick the sheets off, you know, stretch it out, get all nice and comfy. But that, I guess that's just me.
I hope you guys are stoned out there because we forgot to light
up.
Oh,
we did.
420.
We forgot to light up for 420.
But we have dubs.
Well, grab
it's still
the fucking,
It's still 420.
Yeah, it's inside the 20th minute. Light that dube then. Jesus. Okay. I'm fucking waiting for fucking doobies. God damn it. Jeez, what's going on right now? Kind of. Yeah, there we go. Cole, light that up. Oh. Oh, I love fire and weed. Those two things together. They just, they look so good. So moving on. So the First Church of Cannabis, the attendees are warned that there could be arrests made at an upcoming event.
Oh my God, this guy, he's great. This man, he is such a character. I gotta play this.
Play the video. He's hilarious.
This guy is so great.
Although we gotta skip the ad because we're not giving ad space to no people on this show.
No,
unless they pay for it. All right, let's hear.
I'm waiting. I want to see the guy.
All right, turn it up.
By all this, after he'd had multiple meetings with city leaders,
I expect a lot of love, a lot of joy, a lot of celebration.
That's one take on the First Church of Cannabis. But here's the other.
We suggest you stay away.
Now, what started as one of those quirky stories has turned into a war of words between the police and church founder Bill Levitt.
This is not the way to challenge a law. And you certainly can't expect the police to stand by and watch it happen.
IMPD Chief Rick Hyde and Prosecutor Terry Curry held a news conference Friday saying they'll charge or even arrest those who show up to the church for its first service next week.
Anyone is there, whether they use marijuana or not, are possibly subject to being charged with visiting a common nuisance.
But Levin says he won't back down. Earlier this month, the IRS granted his church a nonprofit tax-exempt status. And on July 1st, the same day the Religious Freedom Restoration Act goes into effect, he's been public about the church's plans to smoke marijuana openly in their service.
I don't want to see a wedge between the people and the police. Our police force in this city.
He told me he expects the police to issue court summons, not handcuffs, and that's what he wants, prompting Curry to take out his frustration just as much on the law itself.
I am beyond frustrated that we are having to devote valuable time and resources to this matter.
Yeah, this
solely because
this guy who's in charge of the church there, he looks like what would happen if Phil Spector never got into music and just did the drugs. He's really kind of, he's got the bleach blonde hair, and he's very, very, he's an elderly gentleman, but.
The church does plan to hold that first
service. He looks like Billy Idol and Bill Nye the Science Guy. It's really weird.
Oh my God.
Is that the nail?
Jesus. Oh my God! The dumbest man from the '80s mixed with the smartest man from the '90s. That's what this man looks like, apparently, to April. He does, but oh my gosh, that's a hell of a fucking union right there.
Are we gonna have to cut that out because it was?
Because it was what?
Because it was the F word.
Oh God, I say the F word all the fucking time. It's okay.
I wasn't talking about that F word.
Oh, which F word?
My source.
Oh, your source.
Fuck.
Fucks. Fucks news. Fucks 59.
We give them the credit.
There yeah, no, I mean, listen, I got no issues with Fox. I get it. Someone's got to report the right side of the news, right? Not the right, correct. I mean the right meaning the conservative side of that. I should have said that because I think that's why they took the right side of the aisle, because they're like, because it sounds like we're saying we're right. Maybe that's just me.
Hmm.
Don't judge me, April.
I'm just kidding. What else do we have besides?
I need that lighter. Where's that lighter? There it is. Hold on. Lighten the joint. Oh, God. It's amazing how happy a joint makes me. It's such a good thing.
That's some beautiful. Wonderful OG called 911.
Yeah, it's a...
I was like, 9/11 burning, that's kind of that's symbolic.
No, it's not like September. It's like emergency 9/11.
Oh my.
But it's very, very strong.
In SAG, the Screen Actors Guild. Some people might not know. Some people might not know that's the Screen Actors Guild. But your daily rate for a day of work is $911.
Right.
And there were a lot of people, because I used to be on the board, who complained
about that. They're like, we'll take a dollar less. Can we not have it be fucking 9/11?
It's like if your paycheck is $666, you're like, come on. Can you round it up?
Round down.
Down even.
Round down a dollar. I'm cool with that. But there's some number. 666. I'm a Jew, so we don't believe in the devil. I'm good on that one. But
if it was like 13.
I believe 13 is my lucky number. I've worn 13 in every single sport I've ever played in my entire life except for rugby.
13's my
You got a lucky number, Cole? 13. What's your lucky number?
Oh, I like a lot of different numbers.
Yeah, me too.
You know? I'm not afraid of any of them. I like 17.
Oh, okay. You're playing
a lot of good guys for their number 17 in basketball.
Oh, there are a couple. That's right. You're a big basketball Chris fan, Rollins. Aren't you? I always forget that you're more basketball than anything else, right?
I like them all. I like football and baseball, but basketball I really love. I love baseball.
I do love baseball. Baseball is a great sport, but I'm the first one to acknowledge. I understand why baseball is hard for young kids to get interested in. It can be very boring if you don't love the sport.
Do you do edibles and go to Dodger Stadium?
Oh, every time I go.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a season ticket. I share in season tickets with other people, but I get to about 15 games a year. And what I love so much about it is that it is still an event every time I go. It's that I grab the edible, we're going to smoke a bowl once we get there. We show up an hour and a half early. I bring my gloves. We play catch in the parking lot. Yeah. We go in, we grab some food, grab some beer. Because I'm a season ticket holder, we can go down to the bottom level. We'll walk up to the where the dugouts are. Of course, that's one of the upsetting things in the way they remodeled Dodger Stadium. You used to be able to just walk right up to the dugouts. You can't anymore. Yeah. That's just for the rich people. And I love being at the stadium. It's an exciting, awesome experience every time I'm there. I love it so much. It makes me smile. There's something about being at the baseball.
Edibles are fun at Dodger Stadium.
I like Dodger Stadium.
I don't do them that often, but last time I did them, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I was like, oh, wow, check it out. The guys are congratulating themselves out on the field. Hey, we needed that last hit, huh? That's why everybody was standing up. That was important, huh?
Hey, that was it. That was a big deal, wasn't it?
Because now they're all congratulating themselves.
I've been to Dodger Stadium a few times, and just a few, but one time I went as a guest with someone that through their record label that they worked for. It was
You're gonna have to go to a game with me in my seats.
I would love to. I've also been in the nosebleeds with like the diehards, and it was just crazy. Like it's like the Coliseum. You know, like there's different levels. Like the closer you are down, the better the food options, the better the bathrooms.
Yeah, the colder the beer.
You know?
The prettier the girls, everything. Prettier the guys,
but
probably.
You know what? I'm like, I've been to more than one Dodger Giants game. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, yeah.
The Dodger games I've been to have always been. And you know, Giants suck.
Tensions run high during Dodgers-Giants games.
I thought it was so funny because in Boston, people will yell Yankees suck no matter who we're playing.
Yeah, no, they chant That's the amazing thing about Red Sox fans. You're playing the Angels and you're chanting Yankees suck. It's fucking amazing.
So I felt really like at home the first time I went to Dodger Stadium when
They're
they're yelling, Giants suck, Giants suck, the gay area.
I was dying.
It was hilarious. And so it felt like there was that rivalry, the same like New York-Boston kind of rivalry. And I just felt really at home. But then when I sat in the seats where I started like yelling and being, and everybody just turned around and looked at me. I was like, oh, I'm with like, I'm in like the higher up seats with, I mean, meaning lower to the ground, but status quo higher. It's just fucked up because I want to, then I'm just being my drunk Boston self, like yelling and shit. I just
understand that rivalry.
That's why I love my season seats because we're on the loge section, which we're not on the field with all those pretentious uppity motherfuckers.
Hey, now easy.
I got to stand on the field.
Some of those guys might be present.
Some of you are good people. I'm not lumping you all together. I'm saying for the most part, some uppity motherfuckers down there on the field level with their special Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, even though we live
in
LA.
Sushi.
And sushi.
They had sushi.
And fucking
the stadium
all
club.
That, and stadium clubs and all that stuff. It's I'm really on the fun. Loge level, which is like, okay. We're not the
nose. I was there. I was
We're
there,
not
man.
Up on the top. We're not the nosebleeds.
I didn't get to go straight
you're
to
like
the field.
You're like in Chipotle we're, land.
I had to work
you're not,
my
you're
way
not
up.
Yum Yum Donuts.
It's
and
a bunch
McDonald's.
Of motherfuckers who love the Dodgers and love to be home by 10:32 at night.
Right.
Okay? That's what it's full of. A bunch of people who are like, I'm going to enjoy the game. I'm going to have 2.3 beers. And then I'm going to take my wife and 1.7 children home. And that's it. And that's what I want to watch the Dodger game with. A bunch of like, we love it. We're yelling. We're screaming. But we're also like, hey, could you grab me a dog when you're at the fucking thing? Because I yeah. also came here to eat a little
right?
bit.
A Dodger
that's what upsets
dog.
Me about Dodger Stadium is how bad our food is. Because I've toured a lot of stadiums now. I'm lucky going to comedy. It's my right. favorite thing to do is to go to a baseball game in another city. And I didn't realize until I went to baseball games in other cities how much our baseball food here in Dodger Stadium sucks. Our field is amazing. Our stadium is Our food is bottom five in all of baseball.
Wait, you know what? I don't think that Tommy Lasorda Italian restaurant that they put in last season, I don't think that thing
it's
took
awful.
Off.
It's awful.
Tommy's Trattoria.
The barbecue's not that good either. Have you ever been to Arizona, been to a game out there?
Just for spring training. Never okay. to the Diamondbacks.
You need to get to a Diamondbacks game.
All right.
The baseball is sorry. Not all that good, but the food there, I had this thing. I went there earlier this year for one of our first series out there against Arizona. Two things I had there. I split them with my three friends because of how big they are. The first one was the D-Bat, which was an 18-inch corn dog. But the 18-inch hot dog
you
had,
don't need that.
Hold on. Shh, you're,
let it's it,
just let me finish.
You guys can't hear the what I'm seeing.
Let me finish. So before they batter this corn dog, they wrap this 18-inch corn dog in bacon. And they dip it in cheese sauce, then batter it, and then fry it,
with sauce.
And it is
and sausage.
It is served with
bacon strips and bacon strips.
It is served with a pound of French fries.
That's
okay. When I was done sharing that with three of my friends, because we shared it, you know, obviously you share this amongst friends. It's not meant to be.
Are you fucking kidding
me? By yourself. I went and I had a churro dog, which was one of those Long John, like it was like an eclair cut open with
good.
A churro put in it like a hot dog and scoops of ice cream with hot fudge poured on top of it.
This is epic mealtime. You're describing to me a YouTube video you saw. I don't believe you.
It is.
The stadium.
But that, here's the thing. For
did
a lot
epic
of people.
Mealtime
for a lot
start
of people.
Restaurant?
For a lot of people, did baseball
the,
games are a. At most, 10 at the least. If you're a baseball fan, you always get to a game a year, right. but it's usually anywhere from 5 to 10 if you're a baseball fan. So, yes, it's an event. You're supposed to have ridiculous over-the-top food that you would never have in any other situation. Like a Dodger dog's good, but it's a fucking hot dog, man.
I know, they're
it's
horrible.
A really big
I'm
hot
always
dog.
Too excited. There's food there for me to eat that come with my seats at the stadium club, and I'm always too excited. And I mean, it's an incredible spread. There's
I make the joke, but it's really true. Dodger Stadium is the only stadium in all of baseball that allows this. They'll allow you to bring in outside food. You can't bring in outside drinks, but you can bring in outside food. And I made the joke. I was like, it's because they know how bad their food is they get that people were like, I'm not going to eat your shitty food.
Yeah, and maybe people with dietary restrictions.
If it's
going to
be overpriced, it better at least be good. And that's the thing. At this Diamondbacks game, was the food overpriced? Yes. But I just described two dishes to you. you that I got that are
I a, got a cavity and a coronary at the same time.
But you would order both of them and you would enjoy them and you'd be happy you had them and you wouldn't finish them, but you'd be happy you had them. And that's kind of American decadence all wrapped up into one. I guess there's some people who are listening to this who are like, wow, you fucking American fat-ass piece of, you don't even have to eat all of it. I know there are starving children in the Sudan, but throw half of it away so you can feel the decadence of ordering it.
Have you ever seen? Have you ever seen Epic Mealtime? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've seen Epic Mealtime.
That's exactly what that sounded like to me. It's like you're describing a YouTube video. So I don't
Like the Rock posts.
I mean that. Oh my god, that sounds so good and disgusting all at the same time. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, the Rock posts pictures twice a year when he takes his cheat days from his diet. And his cheat days involve like 3 double dough pizzas, 2 stacks of pancakes that are like a foot tall, a pitcher of milk, 2 pitchers of beer, and like 12 cookies the size of your head.
How many times? How many times a year?
Twice a year.
And what does he eat the rest of the year?
He's actually posted online. He posts his 2 diets because he has 1 diet for when he's just, you know, regular.
Do I need to follow him on Instagram?
And he has another diet for when he's, you know, getting himself super, you know, cut. The interesting thing for anybody interested in checking it out, he does post. He has a blog and everything. He's a cool dude. He's a really nice guy. When he's just in his normal everyday life, he's eating 6 times a day.
Well, you have to,
when he's
to maintain that. Yeah.
Bulking and putting muscle on and trying to get himself super ultra swole, like when he's about to film for one of his movies, he's eating 7 times a day.
I was going to say 10.
7 times a day. You know, one of those meals is just a shake.
You got to feed the Rock.
Yeah, some people, I just unplugged.
No, I got you. You're good. Sorry about that.
Okay, hello.
I'm unplugging headphones over here because I'm a dick.
Oh, what the fuck?
I can't help myself. I just like fucking with things when we're working.
So I really think, though, Dodger Stadium, why everybody – I think that all – the area I was sitting in was all comped seats, so I think everybody was just on their best behavior. That was my theory because I was like, why aren't you guys being rowdy sports people?
Well, you know what? Here's the
and they're all like, I don't even.
The Dodgers Giants rivalry has been very heated for a long time.
It's adorable. I love it.
And it boiled over a few years ago in a parking lot when
first game of the season,
a fan was unfortunately beaten. He was put into a coma. They later arrested the guys. Here's the thing.
When was this?
This was
he's kind of made a comeback. I mean, he can almost write his name.
Four or five years ago. It's about 4 or 5 years ago. But ever since then, it's been
a little dark cloud, yeah.
It's not just Dodger fans are still loud and rowdy, but the Giants come to town and
they were out in force the other night.
It's very
I was just there for one.
It's I don't know how to describe it, but the anger and the vitriol is just as vicious as ever, but they almost ignore that each other are even in the stadium. Like, Dodger fans don't even acknowledge that there are Giants fans in the stadium. And Giants fans might as well be in San Francisco. It's like they don't even realize that they're in Dodger Stadium wearing their Giants stuff.
They were rubbing our face in it. Boy, they were rubbing our face in it.
Well, yeah, because they're beating our ass up this year.
They were beating us up and then celebrating right around me. And then all of a sudden the projectiles started coming down. And I had like a dark Dodger hat on. Those gangster type Dodger hats with the dark style.
Okay.
Navy blue LA. So
Young's Mad Hood.
Ruthless Bob.
Cole Young's Mad Hood.
Ruthless Bob.
So my poor old man, melon soft like skull, was susceptible to being hit by like a full beer can or something.
Oh,
I was sitting
no.
there going, fuck, this is crazy.
Ever caught a foul
Stop
ball,
Cole? Celebrating. I haven't.
Oh man!
They come over the screen pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, actually, because that's where I sit. We had season tickets for so long, never caught a foul ball, and then we moved to the seats that we're in now. And in our first year there, between me and my dad, we caught 5.
Ooh.
That's amazing.
But here's the thing. We sit lefty on righty We get the ones that clear the fence by like a foot on a screamer. Yeah, we don't get any lazy pop-ups. We get the holy shit right over the fence
ones.
You're
left for off the lefty batter?
Section 114, row B, seats 1 and 2.
Oh, you're right up by Dave McNary's.
To anybody listening, if you ever go to a Dodger game, now you know where to bug me and any other friends I share my tickets with.
I think he's 113.
Yeah. So he's on the other side because evens and odds at Dodger Stadium. But yeah, we started catching quite a few, and here's the funny thing. I kept the first two that I caught. Since then, I've been lucky enough to catch 9.
Man.
I've kept none except for one of them. I caught one off of Dustin Pedroia. It was Red Sox against Dodgers in Dodger Stadium. It never happened, and it was a miracle bounce, and I was at the game with my dad, and I never go to games with my dad anymore because I split tickets with him. So we plan one game a year that we go to, and other than that, he has his tickets. He takes his wife. I have my tickets. I take my friends and my girlfriend. But this was our one game this year that we planned on going to together. And the ball bounced 5 rows behind us, started bouncing towards us. A guy reached up for it, and I was going to dive for the ball, but my dad had just had his hip operation. And he was sitting outside of me. I'm like, I can't dive over my dad. He just had his hip operation. I was thinking that. I was like, I can't. So I turned the other way, and I just put my hand on my back and was like, fuck it. And I put my hand on my back, and the ball hits right in my hand. And I just closed my hand. I'm like,
I remember hearing that story. That was amazing.
I just caught a ball miracle. And that was the ball I kept. But every other ball I caught, I would find the youngest kid in the section that I could. And I would hand it to him. And people go, aw. But as someone who loves baseball,
let that be a lesson to
young kids. That kid
made his fucking day.
No. Here's the thing. I didn't make his day.
You made his
life. I made him
write out a check.
I made him a baseball fan.
Oh,
and
yes.
That was important to me.
Then right out.
It was important to me that I was like, this kid, no matter what, for the rest of his life, if he likes sports at all, he'll love baseball. And it'll be because of the time he was at a game as a kid with his grandpa or his dad, and someone gave him a foul ball.
Aww.
And if I can be a part of a kid love it, because like I said, I get why people don't love baseball, but I got a romantic thing about baseball. I fucking love it.
Going to the games. I don't like watching it on TV as much.
Yeah, I love the game. I can watch it on TV.
If I can watch it recorded and fast forward through it.
I tell people many times, I go, baseball's a sport. There's a reason they call it pastime, because it's meant to pass time. You're not meant to actively watch baseball. Right. Yeah. You're meant to sit there, talk to your friends, drink, talk about the game, but it passes time. It's not like football.
America's
you're not actively watching every play, going on the edge of your seat. What's going to happen? No, it's not about that. I got 3 hours to kill right now with people that I enjoy spending time with. I'm going to do that. I love – you know what? Part of baseball died a little bit. I remember the day. I remember it was I want to say 1991, the year that they finally banned smoking in your seats at outdoor baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
And I used to be a smoker. I'm not anymore. But I'm not so pretentious that I need to cough every time someone is smoking around me. If you want to smoke, fine. I don't think that secondhand smoke is that dangerous. And honestly, most smokers are polite enough. They are not going to blow their smoke in your face. They know that you don't want smoke in your face. They blow it up. They hold their cigarette away from you.
Right.
But all of that being said, that was kind of – I remember people in our section – because no game's ever a complete and utter sellout.
Right.
We had a section inside our old smoking section that was always empty. There was always like this box of like 10 seats that was always kind of empty. And there was this old group of guys who used to sit – their season seats were up on the railing. But if they wanted to smoke, that was the seats that they would go smoke and sit in. And they would sit and they would talk shit with me because I was the kid. I was like 8 at the time sitting across the row from them. And that – was something that made me fall in love with baseball.
What about have you ever been to the smoking section at the other door bar?
Oh, yes, I have. Yeah.
They have a little smoking room.
They have a little outdoor smoking area. Yeah.
Have you ever been to the little one around the corner at the Liquid Zoo? back in the corner by the
Yeah. I've been over by that one. That's a little quiet. That's a weirder one.
I was there a few weeks ago, and Swallow came around the corner, and he goes, "Oh God, you guys!" And then he said, "Cole Young, how old are you?"
That's amazing. Him.
Well, you can't enjoy some weed just because you're an older man. Well, that is fucked up.
Come on, Swallow. I'm not out here all the time. I'm just sitting right there.
Yes, you are. Come on, man.
That was actually my first visit out to that little area.
I don't buy that, Cole.
I do all mine.
Almost as much as me, right?
Yeah, but I do it in my car or somewhere before I walk up to the place.
Ah, yeah. See, that was something our...
I don't usually, you know, social to it.
Smoke?
Our guest Sasha talked about that.
At the spots? Oh,
well, you made a special... Special exception for me.
And I did with somebody else, too. Yeah. I did, and somebody asked me to go out to that little special area.
Yeah, and I've seen you at, 33 Taps and do shows that I've done and been on at the UBG, and you're like, hey, I've been meaning to smoke a bowl with you because I hear we're in the same industry.
That's what I love. Love about Cole. He's one of those people that as soon as he finds out that you smoke weed, he's like, oh, we're going to have to do that together then.
That'll be cool.
We're going to have to, because I do too.
At some point.
Tell me more about you, Cole, story. I want to hear your story.
Story?
You're from.
I'm from Quincy, California.
And I'm from Quincy, Massachusetts.
Which is amazing.
What a quinky.
We say Quincy where I'm
Quincy,
from.
Quincy, exactly.
And you say Quincy. Every other Quincy in the country is...
Quincy is
place.
A Boston thing.
I've been to your place.
Have you?
Yes, my stepsister lived in Boston for a while. I've done comedy in Boston.
Awesome.
That's why everybody everywhere else in the country it's Worcester. Boston it's Worcester.
Worcester. No, but Quincy, Quincy. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm from Quincy, California. I came down here almost 30 years ago, you guys, as a musician.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
Quincy's only 5,000 people.
Came down here 30 years ago as
a
musician.
It was like in the 80s, and I had long hair, and my brother was a screaming guitar player.
And now he's a pot-peddling comic, of all things. It's amazing.
I don't usually use... I'm a consultant. So I'm a consultant, professional person.
Oh, man. How far is Quincy from...
Quincy's like 500-something miles.
Oh, just zoom out.
I still don't know where the fuck it... Oh, my.
It's up there.
Wow,
just
Chico.
West of Reno.
Wow, that is up there.
That's why I was in Reno. That's why people knew me in Reno, because I have family in Reno.
Okay.
I didn't start doing comedy till like 15 years ago. But I've been down here almost 30 years.
And
it was awesome. When I first came down here, you guys... We were rock and rolling, and all these telephone poles had these incredible names of bands on them, like Shark Island, and there were some other guys. Van Halen was just going through a big thing where Sammy had joined the band. You know, there's all kinds of shit. And Ventura Boulevard was up and down all these rock clubs that disappeared.
You almost make the 80s sound appealing the way you describe
it. You could sit, like I'd sit this far away from Steve Lukather playing the guitar or this close to Nathan East playing the bass.
Because I see pictures of people from the 80s and I just see headband. I see a lot of headbands, a lot of big hair, a lot of shoulder puff. And a lot of, you know...
Just go down Sunset Strip, you'll still see that shit.
Yeah.
It's like they got plucked right out of the 80s.
They never left.
They never left.
It was such a fine time.
That's one hell of a decade.
You call them butt rockers?
So anyway, I just got stuck down here, and I told my dad when I came down here, I said, oh, you know what, it's going to take me a while to make it. Give me 10 years. Give me 10 years.
Well,
I think in 12 years he realized, oh, you know what, he's never coming back. He really likes it down here.
Well, we're going to have to wrap up. We didn't get to the Delaware story, but there is a dispensary opening in Delaware next week, which that's the news. Now you know there's going to be a dispensary opening up in Delaware. Delaware. I've been very adamant on the show. I am happy flyover states are having weed
talking about it further than that is to contradict it. And it's, no, I'm happy about it. Let's leave it at that.
So my sad story was the poor little lady in the wheelchair at the dispensary.
Oh, jeez. April has to get a sad
No, that, I'm talking. I know, I'm checking off the one we already talked about with the cops.
Okay.
The lady saying they're going to kick her in the nub. That was sad. I was actually mad.
April did get a sad story.
I was pretty mad.
God damn it.
And then do you want to, we need a strain. Let's feature a strain.
A strain? Okay. What's the strain of the week? Oh, not really. Python?
Oh, this is from Leafly. We love you.
All right. Python, a dominant strain bred by the House of Funk Genetics that was created by cross-pollinating Burmese with a green crack clone. The resulting hybrid is a full body known for its fast flowering cycle. The bite from the green python is a blend of balanced effects that includes cerebral energy with a calm, relaxed body. What you got promoting coming up in the next week, Cole?
So I'm doing a show next Friday down in Orange County at Jasper's Bar and Grill.
Jasper's Bar and Grill.
Yeah, I don't go down to Orange County very often, so
very cool.
I'm doing a show Tuesday, I think, also maybe at Orange County, I think second base.
Very cool. What about you, April? I know you're heading out of town for the next few weeks through the 4th of July, back to Boston.
I am, and I brought my dates up in front of on my phone.
Yeah, run through that line
Real
of dates.
I think I'm going to do Improv Boston. That's not confirmed. It was somebody was dropping out for a spot. That's in Cambridge this Sunday. That is the 28th. Then I'm doing Tuesday the 30th at the stadium in Quincy. Then the 8th at the Laugh Shack in Westbrook, Maine. The 9th at the Laugh Shack in Lincoln, Maine. And the last one is Salisbury Beach on the 10th. And that is called Splash.
Hot damn, doing a lot of comedy while back home in Boston.
I got some dates, a few.
Very, very cool. And yeah, I'm going to be up in Washington and Milton at Dave's, headlining up there probably near the end of July, early August. I still need to hammer out that date. They keep on telling me to get in touch with them, and I'm a lazy son of a bitch. I can't think about why. Yeah, but that's pretty much my big deal. Other than that, end of July, we'll also have the next installment of PUI.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next month or two after that, we're going to be having a PUI All-Star Night, which is going to be a lot of fun.
You got to bring me on that one.
Yeah, we're going to have to have a little arrangement. But yes, for April O'Connor, Cole Young, thank you to
thanks,
the
guys.
Thank you to the Crab Diving
Follow
Network.
Us
thank
on
you,
Rafopoulos
Studios.
Now.
Yeah, follow us on Instagram. Follow us on all that stuff.
On Twitter.
Yeah, we're on the Twitters. Yeah, Cantilinguists, @Cantilinguists. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Bye.